When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday, folks. How's it going? So you're going to get to hear our group from this past Thursday, but real quick, I wanted to hit you with 8 reasons why you should really be damning the join, okay? 8 reasons why you'd be a damn fool for not hopping on this damn ship. Number 1, validation. So being a part of a group with others who have experienced similar things as you provides a shitload of validation and breaks through some of that shame and knowing that you're not the only one that has endured these things. 2, emotional support. So a large part of this healing process is bringing up and feeling all of those suppressed emotions that we have stuffed our entire life. And this is a community that is a safe space for you to do so and to have support while you're doing it. 3, breaking isolation. So in the Big Red Book, it talks about how we cannot heal in isolation. Okay, it says this in the Big Red Book. That's all I'm going to say there. 4, learning from others. So we gain a ton of insights into ourselves by hearing the experiences of others, right? These are insights that you wouldn't necessarily gain by sitting in your therapist's office. 5, encouragement and hope. By seeing other people's progress, recovery, and healing, that can give us so much damn hope and encouragement that the same is possible for us. 6, building healthy relationships. So as I always say, this is relational trauma. We heal relational trauma and save relationships. This is a place where you can do so and where you can practice and develop healthier ways of getting along with other people. 7, you don't want this recovery process to be all doom and gloom. This is some painful shit, but you would also like to maybe have a little fun sometimes and have a little laugh sometimes. And last but not least, 8, it is less than $1 a day. It is less than a damn dollar a day, folks. Is your recovery worth $1 a day to you? I would say so. You can quit after a month. If you don't like it, you got no excuses. I'm sorry. And that's that, folks. I think that's quite compelling. I think that's quite convincing. If that doesn't get you, I really don't know what to say. We need to be just damning the join right now, okay? So take those little fingers of yours, and how about you go to the show notes for this episode, and you're going to click the damn the join hyperlink. And don't forget to give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, and give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you, love
they
you
say
all.
That I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never failed before, so I'm going to damn the join right now.
Feelings. People want recovery, but they prefer it to be pain-free. That is understandable, but unfortunately, identifying and feeling our feelings is a part of healing. Feelings, what are those? As children from dysfunctional homes, if we cried, many of us were told, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. If we openly showed our feelings, we risked being told we were stupid or that we'd never amount to anything. When our parents failed to show up at our special school events, we learned not to show hurt or disappointment. The more vulnerable we were, the more we were shamed. When we were verbally or physically abused, we pretended it didn't happen. Our broken heart shut down. When many of us first come to ACA, we may have no idea how we're feeling. We've been shut down for so long that numb feels normal. Our tears are frozen. Opening up to our feelings seems threatening and scary. As we keep coming back, we learn to heal by developing trust in our fellow travelers. This feeling of trust can lead to the opening of the floodgates, an expression of emotion that eventually feels normal. As we release our old pain, we make room for discovering how to play and have fun again. We open our hearts and feel joy in our lives. On this day, I welcome all of my feelings, especially those that are unfamiliar and uncomfortable. I have the tools to work through them in order to mend my broken heart from childhood. Ooh, broken heart. Like, it's been about a year and a half, maybe getting close to 2 years, that the floodgates of tears really started to open up for me. But what I really realized, and I've known this, I think I've been kind of trying to push it back some, but it really came front and center for me yesterday. I interviewed a guy. He is a somatic practitioner. And so I have had just horrible shoulder and like neck pain just for, you know, years and years and years and years. And I have like very little mobility in my neck. And I wouldn't say that it necessarily keeps me from doing things, but I'm pretty much in pain. Like, and I finally went to see a physical therapist. I guess I've been going for a little over a month now, and I'm not really seeing any improvement. And it's always been in the back of my head, this is probably stored trauma. And so yesterday, and when I was in the interview, I was telling him about that pain, and he referred to it as, I'd never heard this expression before. He called it a hooded cobra, the shoulder and the neck. He says that that's what they call like all the tension back there. No, sorry, the cobra hood. And there's just so much work that we have to do. There's so much work. And this somatic piece of it is, I feel like we've all been like on our parts kick, but at a certain point, we're going to have to like get on this somatic kick, folks, because I think that that is really, really, really crucial. And it's not just like doing breath work like every once in a while. I think it is a key component of this chronic stuff. It's all trauma. It's all this chronic pain and tension. It's all trauma. So I'm making a commitment to myself to exploring this pain and treating it from a somatic perspective. So yeah, I don't know. I wonder, I signed up for, I had Irene Lyon on a while ago, and I signed up for her 15-day nervous system reset, and I could not make sure everyone's muted. I didn't finish it. And I don't know if that's just, I never finish any of those things that I sign up for. Is anybody else can relate to that? I don't know if it's like a hesitancy to really dive into the nervous system, or just, I think it's like with the inner child stuff. I'm like, yeah, I know that's like important, but like, really, like, is it really that big of a deal? And it is a really big deal. But I do wonder if some of it is like an avoidance of feeling. Is this me trying to avoid feeling something? That's all. Go ahead, Josh. Okay, he's not ready. Who else wants to share?
Sorry, I was talking. I was just.
Oh, I thought you were saying like, hold on.
Sorry. I was saying I have lots to talk about on this. When I was in college, I essentially lost a lot of connection. I mean, perceivably, I lost all connection with my body as far as feeling emotions. And it's been a journey to get them back. I did not want to come to this meeting. I was like fighting with myself before I got on. Like, typically, if I'm sensory overwhelmed and I'm getting all of this numbness in my body, if I don't have access to my emotions, it's like my freeze response takes over, and there's this buzzing energy that's like a almost like, I don't know, it's like ants in my skin. That's like, I just have to either go to sleep or distract myself with, something. Being present, it's like I have to sit in the numbness or in this very physical, it's like nervous system survival energy that's like amped up. I have to sit in it long enough and be patient with it long enough to be able to get even an inkling of the feeling that's driving it. And so it's like, oh, like I feel like I want to run into a wall or like fight something. It's like this, like such amped up energy. And I know it's trauma based. I know it's based on my abuse and like my prolonged fawning to people of power and authority in my life and or bullies. It's just like all this energy of never fighting back. And so when I have like stressful weeks, it's like my body just like shuts me down and shuts off my access to my emotions. And so, ugh, yeah, it's a lot. I've done somatic work, somatic experiencing. I've done IFS. I've done energy work, and it's all helpful. But yeah, it just fucking takes time, and that's really annoying. And it takes work day to day to like check in with yourself and prioritize time. And I think learning to advocate for myself is learning to how to schedule and make time for myself and prioritize what I need around making time for my body and what it needs and what I need to be able to feel into it and then feel and process whatever that is that's coming up that my body's cueing me to not look at or to freeze.
I'd like to share with the group what's going on in my life. I do have a joke first, I have to say. How do you know you're a codependent? You know you're codependent when you get kicked off the jury for trying to convince the judge that you're the guilty one. Love it, right? I got tons of them. I'm gonna
No one's
put
looking very codependent by not raising their hands. Come on, don't you want to please
Yeah,
me,
so that's
people
a
please, people
bad,
please.
good, it's a good, bad thing. Yeah, it is. God, so much about this. My week is really good. I appreciate a place to say that, and for y'all to know that I feel like, well, see, now you're happy. You shouldn't have freaked out a month ago when I thought I was losing my job. Well, the new job is great, and like so much better than the other one. So much less stress. The people are great. My boss is fucking amazing. She like stood up for me yesterday in a way that like no boss has ever done for me, and it was like took a step back of like, holy shit, I want to be her. And all this talk of like new meetings and stuff, I remember my first meetings, and they kind of sucked because I went up to the Mountain Club, which is up in like Evergreen, Colorado, like way up in the boonies. And it was all these like old white people that were all talking like 40 years sobriety, and then there's me crying in the corner that can't get like 24 hours together. But I'm glad I kept coming back because that was what brought me to here. And almost exactly a year ago in August is going to be my 1 year of this group, and I count that as my like ACA start. So that's cool. And my in-person group is going really well, and I haven't like fled, and I share there, which, as you know, for me is a big deal. Yeah, it's always last, but fuck it, I'm trying. So I am doing all right. And just this mom shit is so heavy, and I'm so over it. But I also know like that means I'm ready to drop this shit off, because I see this bright, wonderful future that's so full of life and love and everything. And then there's like my family. And like old perfectionist me is like, I can make them work together. Let's just work harder and do it and make it okay. And like new me is like, acceptance is the answer. I didn't cause this. I can't cure this. I am not responsible for this. It just really sucked because it feels like a core tenet I learned growing up is that family is everything. Family is everything. No matter what, you put family first. And that's got me pretty fucked up now that I'm trying to put myself first. And it feels selfish. It feels wrong. I'm doing no contact with my mom for the foreseeable future. And it really sucks. It makes me feel like I'm a bad son. It makes me feel like it's my fault. But also hearing these like readings and stuff really helps me remember that like that's what they're good at, is manipulating the situation to make it seem like they're the victim, when it's like, shut the fuck up, I'm the victim in this. And not get stuck in that victimhood, but to express it, like literally what it said, like, you know, you're crying about something, I'll give you something to cry about, like that, my whole childhood right there. And so I just didn't have anything go wrong. I just was the perfect kid, the perfect Christian. I did all of that, and it all fell apart, and it took a long time in program to learn it. But I've been in AA almost 5 years now, and it's the greatest thing that has led me to here. I needed to knock that shit off in order to take the next step, and the next step was joining Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, and I did that, and I've been recently remembering that, and withdrawal period is really painful. And I keep saying it like it's a story I tell, but trying to remember to sit in those feelings of what it felt like to be in the fetal position on the floor crying because I had no hope that whatever boy I was obsessed with, Patrick, wasn't going to be my everything. We dated for 6 years. I mean, 6 weeks, same thing. Love that joke as well because it's super true. So codependent.
6 days.
But it brought me to my knees. Yeah. And it got me here because I did it and I went through withdrawal. And I get to say that to like a new sponsee who's doing it and like other newcomers, and get to share with them how different my life is now because of it. And I'm scared as fuck that I have to do that again. My mom. And it feels so different. It's like, yeah, one thing with a boy, like a sexual partner, like that kind of makes sense to me. Like now on this side of it, I don't know what it would look like to have that with my mom. And so I'm not going to get stuck in this. I will not be stuck here. I'm going to keep growing through this. I'm going to keep going. I don't know what that means, but I know the next right action is what changes my behaviors, which changes my life. And I'm willing to do that. And so thank you for giving me a space to share this, because this shit's heavy and it's a little bit heavier than AA can handle, or SLA even. So I'm super glad we have this place, and I love you all. Thanks.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? So Katherine Heigl, you know her from Grey's Anatomy, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says that she's seen more issues with dog joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. So what she's discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. But fortunately, she has found that by just adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformation in their health. And she has made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, y'all know I'm a cat lady. Y'all know that Kiki is the queen of the shit show here. But I watched this video and there's actually some things that I can apply to her health. So hopefully she'll live another 15 years or so. So go to badlandsfood.com/adultchild and watch Catherine's video. Again, that is badlandsfood.com/adultchild. Do you know how many times I have set the intention that on Sunday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to plan my meals out for the week, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to get everything that I need, I'm going to come home, I'm going to make all my meals for the week. Do you know how many times I've actually been successful in doing that? Not once, folks, okay? Not one single time. But alas, I have found the perfect solution. Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your damn door. You get to pick and choose what you're in the mood for every week. Maybe one week you're feeling Mediterranean, maybe another week you're feeling a little carb consciousness. I like the sound of that. I most recently made, it was a spinach and strawberry salad with steak. It was damn good. So go to sunbasket.com/adultchild today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/adultchild to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. All right, my shit show ladies, let me tell you about how I can make getting dressed so much easier for you. Armoire is a clothing rental membership where you get to build your perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you gotta do is take a 5-minute style quiz and then select from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. So I love this because I'm on video quite often on interviews and social media content, and I don't want people to be like, is that the only shirt that this girl owns? I also would not consider myself in the know of what's hot and what's not. But with Armoire, I get to pretend like I'm a fashionista. So this is perfect for working moms, for stay-at-home moms, for any women who just don't feel like going to the store. Now, right now, you shit show ladies can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. So that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/adultchild. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/adultchild to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear ever again.
Not sure how this is going to come out, but the somatic stuff is what I've been talking about and not working on a ton. But I have a coach who's had a lot of childhood trauma. I want to call him my therapist, but she's not an LFCC or a PhD or whatever. But she's us, and she shares that. And I'm better, but a lot of the times I can tell it's like some other part of me takes over. And, you know, intellectually, I know that, you know, I'm only 65, for 62 and a half years, I just did. I was ignorant. And now I'm not, and I don't have very much time. I have 2.5 years, and yes, I've made wonderful progress when I feel it, but it's just kind of like, this stuff is so hard. And it's like, am I ever, you know, I have a fair amount of time in AA, and, you know, I feel it. I don't feel like such a newcomer there. But what I found out from ACA is I have all these different ways of just disconnecting. Without drugs and alcohol, just in regular behavior. And now looking at all of this, she's like, can you tolerate being in a place of, you know, of pain? Of like when I feel like that, or I do now, right now. I just don't know intellectually how to express it, but I started to do EMDR. I got about 6 sessions. And all I know is, like, she has me think initially it was one period of time in my life that was awful. And I love Tim Fletcher and his definition of why we go ballistic. I didn't know that before, but that's the feeling I always had. And, you know, haven't had for quite a while now since ACA to that severity. But so what happens with the MDR is she'll focus on men, I'll be looking and watching the blue light go back and forth, and some people have these, you know, buzzers that go back, so I just try and really watch and let my brain do whatever it's gonna do. And she stops it after a minute or two, it's a big breath, and then, where are you? And so what happens is, wherever I am, in a very short amount of telling her where I am, it's not therapy. And then I get upset, you know, I feel the pain, I get upset. But then the next thing is, focus on the blue light. And we do that 6 or 7 times in 50 minutes or whatever. And it's helping me not go so deep, you know, in the pain and be able to, okay, that this is my life. This is what I've dealt with, but this is not today. And I've done my fair share of trying meditation. I go back and forth with it. I'm a much better breather in Pilates. I've just gotten back into the pool and feeling the water. I don't really care about exercise or swimming. I was a swimmer, and just any way that we can feel our bodies. And, you know, the neck pain, I've had this funky foot pain. They say it's tendonitis. I'm about to get out of the boot, and I'm not sure. I haven't worn a shoe, and I don't know how long. But I got some acupuncture, funky foot pain. I love it. I got some acupuncture, and she knew what was going on. This was right before I finished work. And, you know, I think I probably should do acupuncture all the time. And there's a couple other somatic therapies that I've heard the name of, but I don't know. But I think that we're onto something, and we can't, you know, do it all the time. And I will say, I have what I've gained from doing this hard work over 2.5 years is better than anything I know. It's just now I know a whole lot more about all the crap, and I feel it more. Before I was ignorant. I didn't know. La, la, la. But was I happy? No. Did I have good relationships? Was I lonely? Yeah. Did I have good relationships? No. Was I lonely? Yes. Was I happy and joyful? No. Am I getting there? Did I know how to talk like this? Lay down the boogie. I can't see all the chats and everything. I'm also dealing with, I get really triggered around computers, and I'm having to learn stuff. And I broke down in front of my family, and they've been listening to me and hearing what I'm going through, and it was okay. And I could move out of it. And this is a little off what I was saying, but I realize I have people to ask for help now. And I've just always thought I gotta figure it out. I gotta do it on my own. And, you know, it takes 10 times longer, or I immediately go back into false self, default. And I don't know where or if that was helpful, but I am so convinced. I mean, the reading was on feelings, and we're talking about some physical feelings that I do believe are a result of our childhood trauma. And I do have hope, and I do believe one day we will be better and better and better. I mean, I see that in people when I hear you, mostly in the Tuesday meeting. So thanks for indulging me. I'm looking forward to more hands up there. That's why I did put up my hand. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how it would come out, and who knows how it did. So, but this group has given me a place where, you know, I'm going to take those chances and that risk.
Lay down that boogie and play that funky foot pain till you die. Till you die. Oh, till you die. Go ahead, Nicole.
By the way, I love your share and your introduction to the Side Relationship Show or whatever, wherever that song is that you sing.
Yes.
And
yes.
you keep it up.
Wait, I will.
The Cobra Hood, huh? That's what that shit is called. Well, it's got me. It's got me right around the goddamn neck. I've had the most horrible neck pain for the past 3 days. It is migrating around to the back, and I've been picking myself up by my head, and I thought I could work my way out of it yesterday. Isn't that a good idea? I just need to do more. Doesn't that sound familiar? I'm just going to do some physical therapy for neck pain and really just push it to the limits and do. I was in so much. I can't believe I'm laughing now because this is just divine. Like, this is divine timing. You guys talking about all this stuff because I have a hypervigilance. Like, whenever anything was wrong, my mother's response would be, well, if you're not going to the doctor, then you're selfish, because that means other people have to take care of you and you're actually being a detriment to those around you. So like, I kind of can be a little bit of a hypochondriac in like, when I get these things, like, oh my God, I have to get to the chiropractor today and schedule a massage therapy appointment and get my blood work done today, because it's all happening at once. And I've just been like, maybe this is my trauma and it needs to come out. And then my inner gaslighty self is just like, nope, it's structural. Nope, it's this. Nope, you need to do something. And I'm like in this wild phase of learning not to do something, sit with the pain. Like, I had a huge therapy session yesterday and I talked about what had happened with my father-in-law and the inappropriate sexual comments that he had made. But it isn't my father-in-law that set this off. You know, it was the humiliation and the sexual abuse that I endured in my first marriage and my childhood, and the degrading things that I did and the acting out that I did. And I talked about it with my therapist for the first time in a way that I just broke down and started crying, because like, I was never a prostitute, but I understood how someone could get there, because I was with a man who didn't give two fucks about. I was an object, and I didn't know that I had the right to say yes or no for so long. And I knew at some point, like, that I was gonna have to deal with this, the pain of my past. It's just amazing that I can't believe how physically painful it really is. Like, I can't believe how much it hurts to remember, and it hurts to feel it again. And my therapist said yesterday, you know, hold on, buddy. He said, there's nothing that your father-in-law could say that would touch that pain that's resurfaced. Right. And so I'm just like, and I get so angry. It's just like, I feel like my body has just fallen apart this summer. It's been joint pain and muscle pain. Hang on, Broderick, just a minute. And like a bunch of uterine pain. And I have to go in for ultrasound to see if it's endometriosis. And like, the way that I feel when I wake up, I feel like I'm 100 years old, and it's so hard to get out of bed. And I feel like it makes me feel depressed and like a piece of shit. And I just, all of this though, like, all of this is a win because I'm feeling my body. All of this is a win because I couldn't, and I used to not be able to remember. And I watched my mom my entire life get these migraines that would knock her down for 3 days, and her just be the victim. And we all used to have to walk on eggshells because she was just a victim to her body. And there was no awareness of this connection. And it's like, if I'm going to have to walk through this and feel like hell and be awake, then I'll walk through hell. I just need to keep going. And I'm just trying to let a little bit of the gaslighting go every day and just try to believe that this is what it is. This is the trauma. It's coming out. This is good. And it's really hard, though. I'm okay talking to you guys, but this morning I was not okay. I'm sick of the doctor's appointments. You know, I'm sick of the whack-a-mole with the physical ailments. You know, the neck pain will let up and then I go right into nausea and headaches and I'm just like, fuck. So yeah, I feel you 100% about the somatic stuff. And thanks for letting me say that out loud.
I guess I'll just kind of try to talk about when I shut down. So like a brief backstory, I was a very happy kid growing up with my mom, single mother, and I loved the group of friends I had at school. I loved my mother. I was very close to her. And then she had a very rapidly progressing heroin addiction. And I remember I did something to get on her nerves. And next thing I know, all my clothes are in black trash bags. And she's calling my grandma to come get me. And I always remember those, you know, like all my stuff is, I felt like I was being thrown out like the trash too, you know? And so anyways, then I'm living with my grandma up in Oakland. And to protect myself, I went into a denial. I thought, oh, I'm only going to be here for maybe a couple weeks, a month, and then I'll go back to Alameda where all my friends are. But that ended up being like 3 years. I ended up staying up there with my grandma, who was very narcissistic. And, you know, the type of person that would just, I would hear her feet stomping up the hall and she would fling open my door. It didn't matter what I was doing. She wouldn't give me a heads up. You know, and like one day she walked in my room and she tore out the computer and the TV out of the wall and like threw it on the ground. And the whole time I'm just sitting there on my bed, just watching her quietly. I didn't even say anything or do anything. When she left, I put my stuff back. So that was her, basically really unpredictable, narcissistic, and she couldn't tolerate me having my own will, basically. But in any case, after those 3 years, I ended up moving back with my mom in Alameda. And I was like, I was under the impression that it's finally here. I'm finally going to get to be around this group of friends that I loved so much when I was growing up. And it's just going to be like this magical thing. Everything is going to go back to the way it was. I'm going to go back to being a free spirit again, as I was when I was a child and so happy and all this. But that didn't happen. What ended up happening was I had sort of I don't know if idolize is the right word, but I thought those memories and those people were so precious to me that when I actually went back, I became afraid of people. I was afraid that I could never be the same free spirit and person that everybody used to love when I was a child. So I'm putting myself like that right there. I started feeling like, oh, there's something wrong with me. I'm not how I was pre-trauma. You know, I didn't know it was trauma. I just knew that I'm different than I was. I'm like, I just go quiet to sort of protect myself. Whereas that never used to be me. I used to be loud and have a lot of fun as a kid. But yeah, so because of that, I actually got straight Fs in freshman year. And then the next year I just started staying home because my mom was gone. It was like super latchkey. I just remember I was getting so isolated, so depressed, feeling like something is so wrong with me that for a while I would just like at night, especially it would get so hard. I would just like cry for like a couple hours or something. It felt like until I fell asleep. And, I don't remember how long that went on for. I would say that was probably like maybe a bottom, but in any case, that went on for a while. And then I just don't remember feelings after that. I just stopped feeling after that. Because when I did feel, I wanted to die. I felt like I'm never going to be this person. People are never going to love me for who I am anymore. I'm already too fucked up. So that's when I shut down. It was like, I couldn't tolerate crying myself to sleep. So, with no help, like nobody knew, I didn't talk to my mom. I didn't talk to anybody else. So yeah, I just completely shut down. Didn't have any feelings. And, that sort of precipitated my alcohol addiction later, because that was alcohol. Drinking heavily was like the only thing that could make me at least peek out of my shell or like come out just enough. But yeah, that had all of its own issues for years. I don't remember when my feelings came back, but I think a large part of it was moving away from my family, for one, and being independent, because that I felt a little bit better about myself. But also just creating stability for myself again. I live in Alameda again. I've always had these cherished memories there. I feel my feelings now. I don't run away. And whereas before I used to think that there's something defective, like if I feel anxious or sad or something, like something's wrong. It's not that something's wrong. I used to think like that, but now it's just, I'm just human. All I have to do is accept it and don't abandon myself. Just sit there in the feelings and say, what am I feeling? What feeling is this? And so these are all things that I've learned from ACA and, you know, therapy and some AA. And I've really come a long way since then. And I'm really glad that I'm not shut down as I was. And I'm just really grateful to be a part of the community, because I'm still learning and growing.
I'm grateful to be here. Grateful for the things that I've heard today. They really resonate with me. And this conversation comes at a timely place. The childhood sexual abuse that I experienced, I limited it to only one person and one time when I was three. So now that I'm healthier and stronger and I have tools to manage, other flashbacks have started coming. And whenever I brought those up to my therapist, I would just put my hands over my face and just start to sob. And this last time, I had two new memories come up. And this time it was totally different, because I told myself, I don't know what happened, but I'm seeing these little teeny snapshots, or like peeking through a keyhole of seeing a part of something or a part of someone's body. And I did EMDR some years ago. And what I did automatically, and I'm so proud of myself, is I put it in my safe box. I don't have to focus on it now. I don't have to get upset. I don't have to try to figure out something, because I don't know, but I know. And this group, it's just been a blessing in my life. I just cannot tell you, the person I am now is because I have been here. I have been here with you all, and I know that I belong. I know that I'm a precious, special human being among other precious, special human beings. But we are able, in all our differences and life experiences, to come together because we have one goal, which is conquering the beliefs that were sort of foisted onto us when we didn't have a choice. But now we're exercising our personal power in this incredible, beautiful way. And I'm reaping the benefits of it from you all. The person talking about pain, I realized something from being in this group. And then I had a phone call with someone in the group. We've been talking on the phone, and I realized I start coughing. I taught for nearly 40 years, and I didn't cough, but I start coughing uncontrollably. And I even do it when I start on here. I'm not even sharing. And I'll start out at the beginning. I have to cough. But that's something somatic. That's me for years being afraid to speak, being able to share. And I'm in a place now where I'm able to do that. And the changes in me are not limited to this space in this community. I'm impacting others without my knowing, just by my being. I'm impacting others, and they're noticing it. So I wish the very, very best for you all, because where you are now, you're in the right place. You're taking care of yourself. And by taking care of yourself, you're making a positive impact on the universe. And I mean universe. We change things. It's a privilege for me to be here.
I feel the same way. Did you want to chime in, Josh?
I keep on not unmuting myself. I just think what Dick Schwartz, the guy that created IFS, has said is really important, that parts have the ability, if we have like a physical vulnerability, so not all physical illness or whatever is parts related, but if it's not a part probably has an opinion about it. But I do think parts have the ability to hit that button if they want to communicate with us in some way. So like, I know that he's worked with people with migraines that after an IFS session, he's able to get them to not have migraines, you know? So it's like, clearly there's a part that's pushing that button. And I think that goes for like a lot of like rheumatoid arthritis is what research on that with IFS was what put IFS in the map in the research world, and how big of a difference it made with the people that had it. So there's a measurable impact that parts can have on our body. And it's usually trying to communicate with us in some way. So I think that's really an important thing to be aware of.
What you're holding on to, just let it all go. What's making you slow now, just let it all go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.